Ramble.
Eugene, I would love nothing more than if you could introduce this
episode. Fuck you, Miles.
Hey, man, I fucking put you on the spot because I know you're going to perform.
Okay.
Get back out of there on the court, Eugene.
Okay, Dad.
And in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Hey, guys, what's up? It's the Tripod. You're listening to four of us. So Ned is here.
Hey.
And Zach.
Hi.
And Keith. And then Miles is here too.
Hey.
So yeah, we're gonna have fun time today, and I hope everyone likes what we talk about.
Yeah, it's a weekly comedy podcast, so you know, hopefully, you
guys. I just try to take it a different direction. Like, it's kind of last funny. Week we came in like 1,000% blazing. So
yeah. So now it's a little more
different energy.
Muted.
This is a chill podcast.
Yeah,
we're chill boys, chill guys, just hanging out. Admiring Eugene's beautiful jacket.
Yeah, it is. I don't want to go down this wormhole again. But Eugene does look nice.
Guys,
but I agree nice with jacket. Eugene. Let's not cover it because then he made a tweet, and then all my tweets were just about how hot Eugene was in my mentions. And
yeah, me too.
A lot. I agree. It was overwhelming.
It was overwhelming.
I get the audience. I get that you love Eugene, but you know what? I also...
Let's talk about Keith. Keith's wearing a dark shirt.
Yep.
It's pretty nondescript.
Uh-huh.
But you know what? He looks good in it.
Ooh.
I would say that you're...
It's covered in cat hair. My life is covered in cat hair.
Yeah.
And there's nothing you can do about it.
No, there isn't. I've succumbed. I used to run my little Roomba-type vacuum all the time, and now I've accepted that my house is just hairy forever.
It's just hairy.
Yeah.
It's just part of the life now.
You should get a Roomba that like does not only cat hair but like beard trimmings, you know. So it's just like a completely hairless house.
Huh.
I want
because I get beard trimmings everywhere, man. I got these little red beard goobers.
I got some ear fuzz.
I don't have any ear hairs.
Ear fuzz.
Like the border of my ear
has
some fuzz, and then every now and then I get one that is like how you know when you find that one hair and you're like. Little guy, how'd you grow so fast? How did you grow a full inch and a half without anybody noticing?
You know what's weird is that if you look at your body,
I do all the
and
time.
At some point, you'll notice one abnormally long or thick hair.
Yeah.
That spot always keeps growing.
Yeah.
An abnormally long, thick hair.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's weird.
What's
weird.
Up with that?
I don't know.
What's up with that?
Do you ever pluck one of your facial hairs and then you examine it and you realize it's 2 to 3 hairs fused together and that's just what that pore does?
Yeah.
That's just what that hair follicle always is.
Yeah.
And you can split it. You can take it and you can grab the both fused parts and you can pull it apart. It's satisfying. Is it gross? Perhaps.
Maybe.
Perhaps.
It isn't, but for some reason, listening to you describe it is not making me comfortable.
Yeah.
Well,
all that and more on today's Tripod.
In 10 days, Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes is coming to IMAX and theaters everywhere.
What a wonderful day!
This summer, one movie event will reign.
It is our time.
My village.
I know where they're taking your clan.
Bend for your king.
Never.
Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Only in theaters May 10th. Tickets on sale now. Rated PG-13. Some material may be inappropriate for children under 13.
I should play with Magnetiles. It's a kid's toy that's fun for adults, too.
Are they magnet tiles?
Yeah.
I'm sure that you can relate to this, Ned, but you can't have those little magnet guys, the tiny little bead ones anymore, because they're illegal, because kids and dogs swallow them.
They're illegal?
Yeah, you can't have to buy
what
them.
What tiny little bead ones?
There's, like, magnets about? That are, like, tiny little, like, and you can form them into little shapes and stuff.
Right.
Little dots.
But you're not supposed to have them anymore, because kids will pick them up and eat, too, and then it'll pinch, like, their organs, and dogs, same thing.
Fucking kids.
I know.
But these are not edible. These are, like, big.
Okay, yeah, that's good. That's
so
good
that's
to have.
Better.
That's way better.
What if we make edible magnets?
That's not a bad idea.
That feels like something out of Goop.
It's Goop, yeah.
It's Goop.
Goopy.
Use magnets.
Yeah,
make your life better.
Shout out to Gwyneth. Guys, I got a troubling email.
What?
No.
This week.
From Gwyneth?
Not from Gwyneth.
From Gwyneth?
It's not from Gwyneth.
Gwyneth was going to, she was going to do an Eat the Menu, right?
It, oh.
Gwyneth was going
to
do
well,
it.
What do you think? What menu on earth are is she going to agree to eat all of?
Eat the Menu, the
Gwyneth,
Palm.
Bath and Body Works.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah.
Did, like, is this the bike thieves reaching out because they listened to the tripod and felt
a
bad?
Ransom note? No, it's from a man named Albert. I'm just going to read it.
Oh.
Hi, Zach. Or, hi. This was to my assistant email.
Oh. Of course.
So I,
you have an
I,
assistant?
No, it's literally just...
Oh, okay.
Don't let him know.
I thought he said assistant's email.
I have an assistant email just to filter out stuff, and I check it once a week, and please don't email it. I heard about the tragic accident that happened over the weekend. I am so sorry about Zach's death. He was a great influence to a younger generation.
What?
I was wondering if you've already begun funeral arrangements? If not, I'd like to put my hand in the ring. Should be hat. If you tell me what you would like in a service, I believe I can create a very competitive offer. I am so sorry about your loss. May he rest in peace, Albert.
What? Is it from,
so
what?
I'm dead. Apparently.
This is incredible.
Somebody
did you
offering
respond?
To do a funeral for you? Wait, Zach, you have to do it.
So then Albert replied again. I don't have a copy of this email, but he then said something along the lines of, like, I know how to hold a traditional Jewish funeral, but I also think I could add some pizzazz that would make it special and unique to Zach. So I'm a little upset with myself. I replied, hi, Albert. I'm not dead. Thanks for checking in. And as soon as I hit send, I went, what the fuck was I thinking?
What were you thinking?
I could have gone with this and found... So then I replied again, and I'm like, but for when I do die, what'd you have in mind? Albert has not replied yet, but I hope to keep you guys in touch.
Well, he emailed your assistant. This is very confusing for Albert.
Yeah, he's like, wait, I'm not dead? Wait. Oh, I didn't think you were a dead assistant. I thought Zach was dead.
That's true. Mm-hmm.
Do you think it was a prank, like one of your friends or loved ones reached out to a funeral home to tell them that
you
were dead?
Miles?
It wasn't me, but
I have no
idea.
And also, this guy's email is like his name dot entertainment. Like, he's not a funeral director. At least not that's what his email is.
Huh.
So I don't know where he thought and heard that I died. I would like to know how he thought I died. But also that he's like reaching out to be like, yo, bro, I can throw you a sick funeral.
Yeah.
Does he have an email signature with a business?
No.
It can be Jewish and even more. It can be even more than just a cool Jewish funeral.
I feel like you have to throw your own funeral.
So I did think about this.
Is that a video?
I thought it was a video.
Yeah.
I've thought a lot about my funeral and how in a dream scenario, I'd actually like to throw a preemptive funeral. That would be my dream. Kind of like Zach's goodbye bash. I think I love... Okay, we're going to talk about funerals, I guess, for a little bit.
Yes.
Have you been to funerals where people laugh? To me, those are the best. When you're like celebrating life as opposed... Look, there's obviously going to be crying. There's sorrow. But
yeah,
if you can tell a fun story and celebrate, that to me is so cool and beautiful.
There should be both, you know? You should shed some tears. You should smile and laugh and think back on good memories.
Right. Let's talk about beef.
Oh, I love beef.
Ooh.
I have a single filet mignon in the freezer. I'm waiting for the right time to thaw it because it'll take a few days to thaw. And then I'm going to cook it and eat it and it'll be delicious. But Becky doesn't eat beef. So beef has become a solo venture in the Habersburger household.
Oh yeah,
so
I get
I'm feeling
that.
The Neds.
Well, if you
feeling
ever
the Ned situation.
Need like a friend.
We should have a steak party soon.
Yeah. Steak party!
Steak party.
You and me. Going to town.
Yeah.
And as much as I love my two bosses going to town on a piece of meat, I'm talking about beef, the kind that you don't get at the grocery store, the kind that weighs on your conscience late at night.
Oh, expensive restaurant steak. Oh my God, yeah. $130 for a steak is too much, but it is delicious.
That's right, Keith. Now, today I texted you all, I want us to do a Squash Our Beefs episode. Now, obviously, we have
squash.
Brought up beef.
I would never put squash on
no,
my beef.
No.
I love
spaghetti squash on a flank steak?
I love it. That sounds good to me.
No.
Now, I get why you're confused, but to clarify one more time, we're talking about emptying out our vases of trauma.
Oh,
and
this is the boner episode.
This is the boner, picking
oh, the
our boners episode.
With you.
Now, we've started beef on the podcast with many other YouTubers, people. I think today is the day that we bring up beefs and we squash those beefs. We let those go in the year of 2020. I know it's March. But yeah, I think it'd be fun for you guys to squash some of your beefs.
Miles?
What?
You go first.
I go first?
Yeah, you have beefs?
Yeah.
Set it up.
We didn't prepare
It must have
anything.
Been on your mind because you wanted us to talk about our beefs, so you
Miles,
must have beefs.
Tell us about your feud with the Merrill twins.
I mean, for me, it really is advantageous to start beef with somebody bigger than me. But honestly, my beef is with you guys.
What about
my beef is with you guys. Now, we've been in the pandemic for a while, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. And we started doing remote podcasts about last year around this time. Uh-huh. Yeah.
Oh, right. I know where this is going.
Yeah.
I don't.
Yeah. How many of you feel super confident and comfortable with your at-home studio setup?
It's not great.
Yeah. But I will say, every single one of your partners, except for Eugene's perfect. every single one of your partners, their Zoom background on You Can Sit With Us.
Yeah.
Flawless,
beautiful.
Gorgeous, incredible. Their sound is impeccable.
Yeah,
it looks beautiful,
yeah, crisp.
But then we go over, and Zach's sitting in sort in front of a beige wall. Yeah. Just got out of bed.
Yep.
What's up? There's the beef.
Yeah.
There's
so
the beef.
I talk about this to Maggie all the time. She has a beautiful background. Puts quite a lot of effort into rearranging our living room to have. And I say, it's a podcast. And I'm going to sit here in the setup that I don't have to put visual effort into, because that's my little treat to myself.
I appreciate that.
Yeah, but it's quite ugly. I did rotate my desk. It took me 300 days to get there. but I did finally realize that I had been in the pandemic for 300 days. It was time to change it up a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly not enough.
Yeah.
I'm at that state. Well, I'll talk more later. What
it's
about you guys?
Beef squashed, yeah.
All right, sick.
I can barely handle setting up the goddamn microphone anymore. It's been a year, and every single time I'm like, this is the worst. This is not a... It's because I don't have I'm always thinking that we're going to come back to the studio, so I never set up a permanent thing.
Yeah.
And that's on... Maybe that's on me for like...
That's on Coach.
That's how I want to mentally...
We were optimistic.
It's wishful thinking.
It's wishful thinking.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like, maybe it's right around the corner.
Dress for the job you want, Miles.
Yeah,
maybe the spike will go down. I don't need to make this a permanent thing. But also, like, my desk is in the back house. Ariel's desk is in the bedroom. If I'm in the bedroom, now I'm kind of invading her space during the day. And also, there's a non-zero chance that Wes is going to like walk in with a tuba and blow up my spot. You may notice that, and You Can Sit With Us, I also walk in. I'm like half naked, butt naked. I got to get ready for the day. I got to put down the baby. There's just a lot of things going on. So what my gift to you is, Miles, is uninterrupted access to me.
That's beautiful. And honestly, consider our beef squashed.
Yeah. I'm in the back, the guest house. We have a guest house at our house, and it's become the Keith's operations for all the work. So.
Welcome to Keith Corp operations.
It's Keith Corp. It's my work, and I go to work, and I say, bye, I'm going to work, and I go over to the guest house, and I'm there for several hours, and sometimes Becky comes and says hi, and I said, honey, I'm at work, and she has to go home.
That's very cute.
But no, yeah, I agree that their setup looks a lot better, but my setup also looks bad out of respect so that hers can look better.
That's very good. Keith, consider a beef squash.
Yeah.
Eugene, there's no beef, so consider, you know, fucking attaboy.
I'm not going to say it's a girls and gays thing, but when we got home for the pandemic, I mean, if you could look back at all the tripods remotely, I only have two locations I shoot those in.
Yes.
Because I'm facing a light source.
Yeah.
And I have to kick Matt out of wherever that is.
Mm-hmm.
So we've also communicated that if I'm doing something, because my most, and I'm really uncomfortable in both of those spots, by the way.
Yeah.
They don't, that bed that I'm sitting on, I'm actually sitting on the very edge because of the way the window is. It's like very particular so that the lighting is right and that you get the right depth.
Yeah.
We take most meetings at the table with, like, you've seen me with just like a painting right behind me and it's really dark lighting.
Right.
Mm-mm. Yeah. I'm like 30 minutes preparing before trying to figure out
it
cleaning
sucks.
The tables and behind. Yeah.
Gotta
I mean,
cute.
They're probably smarter because they get to just be like, I'm just going to set it up and go. But
this is a desegue into my bone to pick.
Boner
with
alert!
Life. Fucking cleaning sucks.
Yeah, oh.
Cleaning sucks.
Preach.
Preach.
No one told me that being a human would mean that I'm just cleaning all the fucking time.
And you can't hire a cleaner in the pandemic, so you're forced to deal with your own bullshit.
Especially now, my heart goes out to everyone who's like me,
who
is having to work out of an apartment I don't have much space.
Uh-huh.
And my
Shouldn't
office.
Shouldn't that make it easier to clean?
No, Ned. My office is my kitchen, is my podcast studio, is my shooting space. Yeah. There's not much space. So everything I do, mm-hmm. I have to set up and break it down so that Maggie doesn't come home to a fucking pigsty. Yeah. And oh my God, it gets so messy so quickly and it never ends. There's never one day where I've looked around and gone, egads, I've done it. It's back to perfect. It falls apart mm-hmm. immediately.
Yeah.
And it's this, I feel like fucking, what's his name, rolling that boulder up the hill, but I'm not even making Sisyphus. Any progress. It's just crushing me. I'm getting Sisyphus all over the place.
Sisyphus.
Yeah.
Lipschitz. Six. Squish.
Cicero.
Cicero. Lipschitz.
Yeah. You guys
Sorry,
with
that's what
me?
It reminded me of.
I'm with you, Zach. And also, we're at our homes all the time now, so all I do is do dishes. It's like, I feel
oh my God.
All I'm doing is
Dude,
doing dishes.
Dishwasher, dishes every goddamn day.
Yeah, it's nuts.
I'm doing dishes 3 times a day.
Yeah.
I certainly hear you on the like, oh, I gotta set up fucking lights and camera and film myself, but I kind of like putting away dishes. There's like a satisfaction in putting everything in its spot. I don't like scrubbing the pots and the pans necessarily, right. But you get a nice dishwasher full of clean-ass dishes. You put every bowl in the spot where it's supposed to go. You put all the forks with the forks. You put all the knives with the knives. You put all the spoons with the spoons. It, like, pleases my sense of organization.
But that's every day for me. Am I alone here? Like, am I doing something
wrong? I do it every morning.
Every day I have to. Oh, my God.
Yeah, it makes you feel like I've accomplished something.
I'll also, because I know that Becky will listen to this podcast, so for full transparency, Becky does 90% of cleaning, and that's at the minimum in our house. She's certainly mm-hmm. much better at cleaning, but she also doesn't like it when it's not clean. Whereas me, I could walk through a dirty space and be like, yep.
Oh, sure. My
that's fine.
Is.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah.
So, like, it's my comfort level, like, in my guest house, like, just off camera in all of our podcasts is a huge pile of garbage. There's a huge pile of garbage. If I were to angle the camera just a little bit, you'd be like, what the fuck is all that? I'm like, it's a bunch of shit that I scooted out of the way mm-hmm. for this one moment of the podcast.
Look, a lot of my cleaning is out of love. I don't... Mm. My office and my area is a hazardous mess.
Yeah.
But I have to, as Miles alluded mm-hmm. to, it's a bad-looking background. So when I film videos at home, I have to take over the communal space.
Yeah.
And so I'd say about 1 to 2 hours of my day every single day is cleaning, and I want to die. I want to die.
Do men need a shit nest? I feel like I need a shit nest. Yeah. I need a place where I have a pile of stuff, and I know where all the stuff I want is within that pile, and I'd prefer it to be in the pile than to be in drawers.
Well, it's because we're not working in the office. Your shit nest definitely used to be your desk.
And I loved that.
Loved the good
it's
shit
how,
nest.
And it's also,
me nuts.
My dad had a shit nest. Like, all of his work was always on our, like, dining table.
I've never heard shit nest.
It's a shit nest. It's like, if you'd be like, Keith, where's the calculator? I'm like, oh, I know where it is. And I would move 3 books, and I'd move this bowl, and be like, here it is. It's under the bowl. And they're like, why is it there? It's like, I don't know. That's where it is in the shit nest.
I'm with you. I think we're wrong, but I'm with you.
It's wrong. It's just like my brain can remember where things are if I set them down. So me, and when I do put things away, then I have no idea where it is.
100%.
And I also kind of need to see things to remember them.
Yeah.
So like, I will always put all the shit I need the next day right by the door, which means it's like in the middle of the living room. I'm like, no, but I need it there because if I don't see it, I won't take it, and then I'll forget it.
I used to leave one piece of garbage, it was like the box that my medicine came in, on the floor in front of the door, and I would say, Maggie, there's some garbage by the front door. Please don't throw it away, because when I run out of the house tomorrow morning, I need to remember to take my medicine. And that visual reminder is the only way that my stupid broken mm-hmm. brain is going to be able to do that.
You know what? I'm going to say it.
Say it, Eugene.
One, I think I'm truly the messiest guy out of the four of us.
Hmm.
Like, at heart.
Yeah.
Y'all have the potential.
Y'all have never seen how I lived before I met Matt.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've seen your desk.
I've seen your desk, and we both have bad ones.
I'm literally the type of person, I had a crazy, like, hand painting on my wall, because at night I would get bored and just start dipping my hands in paint and just doing this. I was literally like the stereotype of a artist in a rom-com in the 2000s.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Like, I was slashing at the walls. I had no bed. I just had a mattress.
Yeah.
Sometimes I didn't have a sheet. I just had a mattress and pillow.
Oh, that's intense.
And all of it was because I got rid of a loft bed after college, right. And then I just never bought a new bed. I just had the mattress.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So Matt's the exact opposite. Matt is also, I think, probably the cleanest person out of our group.
Yeah.
He's pretty clean.
He's pretty damn clean.
Becky's pretty clean.
Errol's pretty clean.
Yeah, Errol's pretty clean, too.
Matt demands not
don't
just...
Don't you come for that you, crown.
Okay, if you're doing the floors, Matt demands, when we do it weekly, the dry run, where you pick up the stuff, then the vacuum, then the wet run.
Sure.
Through the entire house.
That's a classic floor cleaning, unfortunately.
Three times.
I'm with you, man. Yeah. But... Everyone else is going to listen to this and be like, "Yeah, that's how you're going to play."
I know.
With you,
that's, I was just like, "I can just back him." But he also demands that every specific thing in a drawer is folded a very specific way, like in a condo. So anytime I leave something out, he actually watches me and makes me fold it a specific way.
Can't you just let us fall apart?
Let us just
die slowly.
What I will say is, as the person I think who could be an example of. This is my brain. You have to get used to my brain. This is how I operate.
Yeah.
I admit that I probably operate more efficiently with a system that I reluctantly adhere to because now I know where everything is.
Yeah.
I always was like, no, this is how I operate. I don't need to know where things are. I will dig, and I'll go, where did I put it? And then 30 minutes pass, and I'm like, of course. And then I feel brilliant because I was like, of course I put it there. Of course it's like the 20th place I look.
Mm-hmm.
But you found it. Yeah, Matt has the fucking organization down to
a T. It's true.
Bless him.
So
if you
it is good. It's a good improvement to learn how to keep things organized. I have to admit it. I don't want to be just the dirty boy. I'm trying to be better.
You know I'm trying to be better, but it never ends.
I want to put barcodes on every single thing I own and put one of those Target kiosks in the middle so I can type in laundry
Need
detergent.
Help finding your
and
item?
It'll be like laundry closet. I'm like, oh yeah, yeah, yeah.
Guys, when we take a whenever we take a shower, he makes me clean the shower door.
Oh, squeegee?
Every time.
Yeah, I squeegee. Well, I hate
gotta.
It.
Nuts.
Clean it and then spray
Ned,
the shower down.
Ned, are you with us? Are you against us, man?
I'm on. Obviously against you. How is that a question?
Oh my God.
You want a squeegee a shower?
You want a squeegee?
Look, I don't want to squeegee the shower, but I want to have a clean shower, therefore I squeegee.
Is it clean?
It's so you don't get water stains.
Do you see what showers get like if you never squeegee them? They have
those
like
beautiful little dots,
spackles of dots, and it gets builds up over time. Look.
That sounds like somebody who's when they're showering, they can see. See, I have glasses, which means when I'm showering, I can't see anything.
You're in the blind
so I leave the bathroom before I have my glasses back on, so who knows what that place looks like.
I'll tell you this. I can certainly relate to everything that y'all are going through because relatively, Ariel is much more clean than I am. Her clean threshold is higher than mine. Yeah. I'm like, the floors are fine. She's like, we need to sweep the floors. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there you go. The person that it annoys more tends to win those arguments.
Yeah.
But... As a me relative to, I think, the average, certainly relative to you all, I'm much more clean. I like putting things away. I like putting away laundry. I like it when my space is organized and it helps me feel like I know where things are. I get you. But like it's My point of view is valid.
Your point of view is valid. Ned, I appreciate having your perspective on the podcast.
Thank you.
And
when you live together, you have to find that happy medium, you know?
Yeah.
And that's what's hard. I'll tell you my bone, which is related.
Ooh.
My bone to Bark. Pick. It's a double bone. It's a double boner.
Ooh.
Double boner.
It's a double-sided boner.
So wow, I'm picturing like a Darth Maul situation.
Yeah. So I love... Like I said, when things are organized and I know where things are.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
My beautiful wife, she also likes redecorating.
Yeah. Oh, and a reorg.
Oh, I agree.
In the refrigerator, she likes she likes collating things. She likes to streamline things in the refrigerator. So I am constantly like just besieged by... things randomly being moved to other places that are quote-unquote more organized and leftovers that have gotten, in her eyes, too old, thrown out.
Oh, that's the worst thing you can do to Ned is get rid of leftover
you
meat.
You threw out my thing?
Literally beef.
I was going to eat my thing?
Yeah.
Why is it gone? I've abandoned my boy. Abandoned my child.
My child.
Where is my beef?
The milkshake.
And... you know, we've talked about it. So she tries to let me know, like, hey, I reorganized this. Do you like it? And I go,
honey.
I have to say yes. And then I try and memorize the new spot. But, you know, you ever have, like, you're so used to grabbing the second drawer to pull out the thing you
sure,
need,
right,
the 100%. Knives or something. And then all of a sudden they're in the first drawer because that's higher to the counter and it makes sense. But years of muscle memory have trained you to reach for the second drawer. So you reach for it and then you open it and there's no knives there.
I'm with you. But also, I in the same way, I'm like, Becky organized everything and it makes sense where it is. I never would have done all those things. So, Becky, I know you're watching and listening. I greatly appreciate it.
Keep
just to make sure
drink,
on the
yeah.
record.
This is a good defensive move. This
you,
is a defensive move.
I don't
move.
Want you to think in any way I'm taking credit for almost any cleaning in the house. I'm not. Mm-mm, I'm bad.
This is good. Keith's covering
that.
His ass.
And also, absolutely appreciate
she does a wonderful job
of
making
well.
Sure the refrigerator is in nice shape and that the floor is nice, even though
okay,
I'm just
okay, we're back.
Walk
yeah,
all over
Keith,
it.
We'll definitely cut that thing you just
no,
said.
No. We need that. We need that in.
Yeah, it's, you know, I think it's a trade-off, right? Here's a partner who is more organized, more clean than you. There are certain trade-offs, but the end of the day is you got to appreciate that refrigerator looks nice, looks clean.
I think the lesson here...
Don't throw out my beef.
...is that our partners are right.
Yes.
Yeah.
There's
and we
no
don't
world
like
that
it.
We are right in this clean situation.
We don't
yeah.
like it.
Again,
now,
mine
well,
is
no, perfectly your, good leftover.
In your own
is...
personal world, if you're not sharing with anyone, be as messy as you like.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But what it comes down to is someone comes over... People like looking at cleaner spaces. You've been to people's places and been like, wow, this place is really messy. Like, yeah. That's where they went out.
You again, my beef clean. Is not with the partner. It's that it never ends.
Yeah,
it is
right.
That no matter what I do, I shall never
Tomorrow is another full dishwasher.
Mm-hmm. I can't say it enough.
But I you know,
I hate it.
I didn't have a dishwasher for a long time, so yeah. I love the dishwasher. Yes, the dishwasher is
the Why don't
best.
You let Maggie do it and then you do things that she doesn't like but that you like?
We have some trade-offs, but frankly, mm-hmm. I'm just there all the time. She goes to work. It's all
the pandemic problems too. It's just like you're living in your space way more than you normally would. So stuff gets messier. There's more dishes because right, you yeah, eat lunch there.
And you see it all the goddamn time.
Yeah.
You can't go, you know, to the movies and forget about all your troubles. You gotta sit in watch the movie in your living room and then look over and see that fucking cup that's not in the sink. So you gotta get up and put that cup in the sink and
regardless of where your personal cleaning habits lie versus your partner, if you have a partner, I would encourage you to talk to them about it and talk it through. Because now, after I explain my beef to Ariel, she checks with me before she throws my literal beef out, and she shows me the new organization of things so that I can give it a thumbs up and also start to understand where the knives are in their new place.
I could truly talk about this forever, but in interest of a variety of bones, who else wants to get a pickin'?
Who's got a boner?
I'm trying to think of a bone that I have to pick. I mean, I'm always upset with Taco Bell. I'm always upset with them.
Why?
Because they're just like, they're sponsoring other people. You know?
Who they sponsor lately?
I don't know. I see people all the time be sponsored by them. I don't even specific anymore. I'm like, why is this person better than me?
You didn't like
Maybe
a lot
your
of
rate's
stuff.
Too high.
Maybe rate's too high.
We're not very good at Instagram.
They haven't even asked. I know, but who cares? You know what? Yeah. People come to me and they say, Keith knows about food. I trust him. Mm-hmm. So someone could buy that trust.
Someone would be that trustworthy.
So buy well, yes, obviously the trust will go down over time.
But the cash will
but
come
But I would only endorse a delicious treat, like a Crunchwrap Supreme. Everyone loves a good Crunchwrap Supreme, right? Am I right, ladies and gentlemen? And actually, they didn't pay me to say that, so I hate the Crunchwrap Supreme.
That's well, you're beef? Coming with conditions. That's maybe what it is. They've seen the video. You didn't like it. They had a bucket.
They play the video in their corporate office.
That's so funny.
So they
up, man.
Show their employees me.
That, well, you know what? That means they are giving us revenue, Keith.
The littlest bit.
We'll take it.
They need to be auto-playing that video on every computer in their warehouse.
Yeah.
Unless they downloaded it and then sort of...
That would be rude.
Oh, fuck.
That's
you're
possible.
Right.
They
I bet
probably
they
don't
did.
Use YouTube.
They and they've stolen
guys,
it.
Let's sue Taco Bell. They illegally ripped
idea.
Our content from even, the internet?
Don't even know if that's
sue
true.
Mas.
Sue Mas.
My current beefs are within the Pokemon community, not really, just the reselling market.
Keith, you're into Pokemon?
I know, right?
Wait, what?
I'm very into it.
Have you been, what?
But I'm into it because it's so hard to be into it. You can't buy anything. And I think my beef in general is with people creating difficult supply and demand change right now in a pandemic, because people have to, there's certainly wants and needs. Like, remember earlier on, there was the guy who did the hand sanitizer hoarding who got in all the trouble. There's people who were buying all the toilet paper. People, and then even the Xboxes and the PS5s, apparently you can't buy them because people have bought them up and are selling at higher prices. So like the idea of looking at a pandemic and like, this is a shitty situation, and making it worse by creating an even worse supply and demand chain, that annoys me.
Yeah.
Ticket scalpers
have always been the problem, right? Bots that go into pre-sales, so you can't buy a ticket to Radiohead, and that might have been your only chance a few years ago to go even see Radiohead, but you sat all morning and you tried to get those tickets, you didn't get them, and then you didn't see Radiohead. And
now
will you ever see Radiohead?
Like, I should have just paid $400.
I should have just paid it. It's Radiohead. I love Radiohead.
And I'll never see him like
and
that.
And I don't know when they're touring next.
It won't be the same. You're only at your Zenith once. Radiohead.
Radiohead's probably still good. I think they're still really good.
But they don't have that youthful energy.
Mm. Tom York, I bet he's still dancing like a goof.
Time comes for us all.
It does.
That's the beef I have.
Eugene, what's your beef?
I have a beef.
Uh-oh, beef alert.
Uh-oh.
And, of course, it's not with my amazing partner who definitely is right about cleaning the floor three times. I want to stress that.
The partners are right.
Yeah, I will clean it three times.
The partners are right.
Yeah, they are right.
I see the vacuum picker.
I love you, Ariel.
I see it pick it up.
It does work.
I know. You get to make the floor wet and then dry and then dry again?
It is how floors work.
I love all your partners.
Everyone got nervous halfway through the podcast.
I was just like, whoa, it's too much
about partners. It's been
too far.
No beef with the partners. My beef is with people who defend the British monarchy.
Oh yeah.
Let me go into my
I was going to say go off king, but don't, because we don't have kings
okay,
in this
go
chat.
Off elected go off, official.
Go off non-white peasant. Here we go. So one, why the hell do you have so many stakes? And apologies to British people out there who maybe grew up with this like total lie. I know it's like nationalism is real in every country. Yeah. That, I mean, you could be as obsessed with them as you want, but I mean, it's not like you can marry into the family. Like, you're not their cousin. Like, that's how it works. It's all about keeping a family in power through hereditary means. Mm-hmm. And then on top of that, like all this stuff with Prince Harry and Meghan Markle, mm-hmm. you're looking at it and you're just like, far right people in America are twisted. Like, they fucking, you know, tattoo Revolutionary War on their butts. Mm-hmm. And then in the same sentence, they're like, but you know who's right? Fucking Queen Elizabeth, because Meghan is of color and talks too much.
It's wild.
It's wild. Also, we already had an example of a princess who had some personality differences with the monarchy, and look what they did to her, and she was white.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
What do you think is really happening? Everyone's just like, I'm going to talk about racism, and you know who I'm going to defend? The country with one of the worst colonial histories in this planet, if not the worst.
Right.
Why do you... I'm Korean and I'm speaking English right now. Like, it's fucking crazy. People are like, race doesn't have anything to do with the monarchy or the way that... I mean, I know it's a constitutional monarchy now, yeah, right? Blah, blah, blah. All that shit is still hereditary. Fucking monarchies, they give... You know how most of them started? Someone was like, dude, you know what? God said me and everyone I fuck, usually my cousin, are going to be the ones who have control over all of the wealth, over all of the policies in this nation because of divine right.
Mm-hmm. And all the guns I have.
And all the guns. That's it's in fucking sane. But, you know, like, sure, we're distant enough from some of those moments where it became, like, clearly more of a autocratic, like, system where they're just like, okay, yeah, I'm going to, like, change the entire church so I can get divorced to someone. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. We're a little distant from that. I'm sure Queen Elizabeth has, like, her nice days. But, I mean, she is very elderly, and she was like touring Africa in her youth, touring Africa over the colonies. Like, India was still part of under the rule, the heel of Britain. Uh-huh. None of this with race, when people bring it up, is there's no defense of it, because what it comes down to is you get one drop of color even near that, and that is like they were already upset that she was a divorcee. Like,
these antiquated rules, there's nothing good that can come from that. Think of any family in your community that's just like, you know what we're going to do? We're just going to keep these rules and keep all the money to ourselves and all the power. We're just going to sit here. Everyone else has to listen to us. You know what that's called? A fucking cult.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Anyway, that was my that was my bone to pick. Sorry.
Yeah, man, that was
a it just came to me. Sorry.
Hell yeah.
Steak.
Big bone.
Big beef.
Big beef.
Well, good for Harry and Megan. I support what they're doing.
Oh, hell yeah.
It's weird to...
They can come stay at my guest house.
You're not Tyler Perry. You're not Tyler Perry.
I know, but like, just that's my moves.
Next time. If there's any lesser... that's my,
I'm trying to be
royalty.
Like him. He inspired me. Apparently, you can just invite people who have been, you know, shoved out of their royal family to your home, and they'll take
it. Look, it's like funny on paper, but pretty fucking cool that Tyler Perry stepped up where no one else did and was like, I'm going to... rescue these people.
You can have my house.
I never followed any of the royalty. It just never really interested me. So frankly, this whole story has kind of been one of the first times in my life that I've actually engaged with it. And every level of it is crazy. But then I also remember that here in America, we have people that totally disproportionately and blindly praise our leaders. It's a different way. But I think like there's something in certain humans' DNA that craves that, I mean, I guess it's autocracy, right? But it's like you want you want to worship somebody, and I don't fucking know where that comes from. It's chaos to me.
I mean,
we have that here. We absolutely have. People worship politicians like they're gods, and that they could do no wrong.
And with the monarchy thing, it almost seems like there's an element of a craving for storytelling. Like you can like watch a Disney movie and read about princes and princes, and or you can like just create these narratives in your mind. It's like with the weddings and the formalities of the traditions and everything, it's almost like people turn it into a real life fairy tale, but it's not that.
And you know what else fucking gets my goat?
Goat getter.
Maybe we should just re-examine storytelling in general, because most narratives, fairy tales, like even like I don't fucking care who Ray's grandfather is. Like it doesn't have to be passed down
Hell
from a grandpa.
Preach.
You can be an average person to become a hero. The hero stories are so laid with nepotism and with this idea of being like destined. Fuck destiny. You make your own destiny, not what your daddy did or what your daddy's money, like how heavy his pockets were.
Last Jedi represent.
Fuck that shit.
Even WandaVision, which we aren't going to talk about this episode because we talked about last week. WandaVision had a moment of that too. It's like, this is what you were born to do. It's, can we get away from those fucking stories? You're not born to do shit.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, that's probably why people like it, though.
That's why they like it.
It hurts when you say you're not born to do shit, and then I hear that, and then I think about myself, then I feel really
kind of bad. I wish I was born to do something.
And then I wish that there were something that I was born to do, but it's not true. I wasn't born to do shit.
You were born to try, Ned.
No, I wasn't.
I could go over it.
I could do anything.
You could have done anything.
There's many directions to go, and I feel myself going down a dark one, so I'm going to pull myself away.
Back to the light.
But I do think that there's also this element of the lottery system, right? Where, like, everyone's life has some form of misery, but as long as the monarchy exists, you can be plucked and become royalty and live this magical life, and maybe you too could become a princess. And I have to assume that's part of the fantasy involved there.
Everybody thinks that their big break of getting super rich is coming, and that's why they need to keep these horrible laws in place that allow people to get super rich. It's like, well, that might be me.
It's the same with
billionaires or whatever.
Billionaires. And you know what?
Yeah.
I mean, no, it's not just race. Think about gender. Think about, like, it was literally every single, look up any European king in the past 1,000 years, or honestly, Asian king, any king, and think about exactly how those marriages, like your life as a woman was to get married, produce a male heir, or what, get your head chopped off?
Get your head chopped off.
You know, like there's no such thing as like, it's not even a positive story for those who are like intimately involved. It's just this system that also then just produces, like, honestly, it's just like one big eugenics experiment.
Yeah. Oh, and this is like the veil is being lifted moment where there was this illusion of they are marrying for love. I think, again, I don't really pay attention to this stuff, so you correct me if I'm wrong. And then Meghan Markle came in and was like, oh, no, but she's not the story that we're trying to tell. So we're going to write this out.
Yeah. I mean, Diana was the perfect example. Mm-hmm. Still modern day princess, but certainly one that she was not fitting in the way they liked.
That's why I don't watch The Crown. I hear it's great.
So much of human history has been this fucked up situation where, like, power and strong people with guns enforce the laws of a society, retain themselves in power, and, like, profit from it.
Yeah.
And now it's still kind of like that, but then also, like, people with money equates to people with guns.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Greatest bone to pick of all.
The boat
was history.
Yeah.
God, I went too macro with that, didn't I?
No, that was good.
No,
it was good
but
beef.
It's, you know, it's kind of crazy that there is still a king in Britain. It's almost, it's like it's...
And then they still call countries the Commonwealth. They go tour the Commonwealth. All these countries are still under, they're still under.
Yeah, Queen Elizabeth's on the money in like islands.
Mm-hmm. It's crazy.
Isn't that crazy?
Oh yeah, like Canada?
Canada's a Commonwealth.
Do they pay money to Britain?
I think so. Do they?
I don't know.
Oh, I don't know.
Why didn't you look at Miles?
I'm not sure. I don't know.
Miles on the ones and twos?
Look, Canada, listen up. If you guys are paying money to Europe and you want to pay something, you know, to the, us, we'll take it. And we'll, maybe we'll do that thing. You see that map that was redrawn where, like, Canada just...
I'm going to Google it.
Where California, Oregon, Washington just joined Canada
Beautiful.
Instead and be like, look, we can make Canada the richest nation immediately by taking the West Coast away from America.
Okay. It's the final constitutional ties between the UK and Canada ended with the passing of the Canada Act of 1982. In 2020, the UK left the EU.
That wasn't that long ago.
Wow.
Canada is the third largest foreign direct investor in Britain. The fuck does that mean? Does Canada pay taxes? Canadians do not give any financial... I don't know, guys. Well, you don't come to us for facts all the time. You come for us for hot takes. I'm going to light this fire and run away!
A lot of half sentences there from Zach reading Wikipedia. Like,
I think a lot of people in Britain, like love the monarchy, and not just a nationalistic thing, but kind of like the stories and the traditions. I don't know, like the same way we like the Rockefeller Center Christmas party or something.
I mean, when you grow up, you're taught to like, you know, the original founding fathers and how amazing they were, how they gathered around a table and they formed this great nation, and they were all, you know, late 20s dudes who are like, if you really look at who they were just late 20s dudes who are like, I don't want to fucking pay money to them. All they're doing is taking my money. They aren't helping me with shit. Let's leave them. They're like, no, they'll kill us. Like, who cares? We'll kill them. And that was how America.
History class is propaganda.
That's America.
Fucking history class in school. They just teach you some bullshit.
Well, they just change how it was to make it so fancy. It becomes a fairy tale version of what was happening.
But what's great is that our generation, I mean, I'm sure many people
tea into the harbor.
Many people in the UK probably share a very similar opinion. They have a negative view of the monarchy, of what it represents. And, you know, Harry and Meghan are around our age, and they are, you know, actively doing this to make at least a statement and a difference in their lives. I think it's just a different time, and hopefully this kind of continues and we don't go back into the dark ages where, again, they like fucked their cousins to keep it in the bloodline.
You're sitting right next to Keith's Habsburg.
Look, man, come on.
Keith is a Habsburg.
My brother Brian says we aren't. And I said, are you sure? He apparently did research in the Habsburg and says we aren't a part of it. And I was like, I don't know, man. Look at me.
you don't have the inbred aspect that they have of their jaw. Yeah, like that.
I think our generation...
Because I had braces, bro. I pushed my underbite back.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Wow. Dude, we should find out if you're actually...
I had a little bit of an underbite, yeah.
Royalty.
I think our generation, and because of how we were taught history... Oh, God, we're getting so fucking
big.
But we take for granted how closely removed we are from the atrocities of history and how they continue to reverberate into today. And I think about this with how we are taught about like the civil rights movement, right? The narrative that we're taught is they were racists, then the last one killed, then Martin Luther King fixed it, and then the last one killed him, and now racism is over. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of the narrative we're taught in school. We all know that that's not true. And you think about that with how we are taught about the impact of colonialism. In my mind, the British Empire is over. But it ain't.
No, it's, yeah.
It ain't.
No. People, I mean, very specifically, like, the Holocaust is a great example.
Yeah.
Where
yeah.
it is probably the greatest, one of the greatest atrocities put on a group in human history. And it was within the past 70 years, 60
I have a
years?
Living relative
Living relatives.
Who was in a concentration camp and survived. He's still alive, And there are people that are saying that's
denying
a hoax.
That it yeah, didn't that's crazy. Exist. People, that's so and people crazy. Can get so dumb even within one generation yeah. and revert back to an original propaganda. It is
He's
insane.
Had to make it his life mission just to go around giving talks to say, this is real, and we shouldn't let it happen again.
So, I mean, that being so close to us, like, the entire age of discovery, where much of the European colonialism happened and affected our current day, you know, society, like, everything in society and with a lot of our race relations and the Eurocentric, blah, 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 blah. You guys know. People deny that in the same way, and that's already, like, what, a couple hundred years removed, 100 years removed. You can do that within one. A parent to a child can tell their kid the Holocaust didn't exist, or a parent to a child can say, oh, immigrants from these countries don't experience a certain type of racism because racism doesn't exist. You then take it to the level we're at now. I mean, that is the scariest thing, because you're already incorrectly taught history in schools, then you're incorrectly taught at home, and then you form an even worse opinion independently. There's no solution to like mass educate everyone. And the problem is that what it comes down to, and what we always continue, is that there's an inherent bias that people have, and a lot of that is racism, and a lot of that is sexism. And that's where you're just like, oh, where did you learn that? I was just like, oh, it's just in you. And that's sad.
Maybe you're born with it.
Maybe it's racism.
Supple brains are what I have a beef with, because a supple brain will remember the first thing it's taught, and it's really, really hard to unlearn what you're taught. So, yeah. Like, that is, like, where a lot of things come from, is, like, families can, like, you know, choose homeschooling or like, places, that, you know, education is a state-by-state thing. Mm-hmm. It's not there's no federal education standard, really. So every state gets to decide what they teach. So all these young brains in different places in different counties can learn things that are not as exactly as true as they might should be. And then it's really, really hard to unlearn. Like, you can't, if the first time you heard how planes fly was explained to you in a wrong way, you'd be like, well, that's how it is. And when someone else would say that's not how it is, you'd be like, no, you're wrong, because what I learned first has to be right. And that's
right,
just like
brothers.
That's how brains work. Like, they really have a hard time unlearning.
Yeah, it's very hard to admit that you're wrong.
Yeah.
Like anything.
Yeah, anything.
Right? If you learn something one way and then you later learn that it's actually a different way, you're like,
It's tough, because it makes you distrust a lot of your brain, and it's much harder to unlearn everything. Yeah. So you're like, well, that's probably, I must just be right and they're wrong.
Something
and
I've been thinking about lately is, what sort of implicit biases am I already passing on to my, you know, 3-year-old son without even knowing it?
Yeah.
For example, this boy loves trucks. Just freaking just always talks about trucks, plays with trucks. He knows all different types of trucks, crane truck, dump truck, whatever,
loves
power
trucks.
Roller. There's
loves
so
that
many.
Dump truck.
We all love dump trucks. I think to myself, why does he like trucks so much? Is there something like inherent with, something with an inherent gender thing of like boys liking trucks? And then I thought, like, what if, like, I, as a boy dad, who I am a person that likes trucks and like wanted to be an engineer at one point, what if whenever he talks about trucks and plays with trucks, I like get more excited or am engaging with him more because it is actually also one of my interests. And I don't even know that I'm doing that. And when he does something else, I don't know what he loves trucks so much.
There's nothing else. He's a one truck mind. He's on a one truck mind.
I don't know, playing with dolls, say, which he has done, and not as much as trucks, though. It's like, what if I am like implicitly kind of creating a feedback loop of liking trucks because I like trucks? I don't even know that I'm doing it.
I appreciate they have that self-awareness, though.
Yeah, that's true. Fantastic.
I mean, I like Frisbees because that's what my dad preferred to throw with me. If I were to choose like a football or something else, he would prefer a Frisbee. So eventually I was like, okay, we'll always play Frisbee. And now I like Frisbee the most of those things because I'm the best at Frisbee.
I mean, your awareness of creating subconscious biases is already like a huge first step, because you can't help doing that, especially as a parent. You can't help doing that as just a human sometimes.
Right.
But like, taking to the extreme of your example, then you have many dads who would like hit their child if they were playing with a doll, and then like give them so much positive reinforcement if it was a truck or a toy gun.
Yeah.
I mean, that's unfortunately like the history of like gendered parenting.
Yeah.
Your awareness, though, I mean, you can't also change yourself, so you can't be like, I'm going to force myself not to be excited when he talks about a truck.
Yeah, when he asks how something works, I'm like, well, let me tell you.
The pulley, it's the fulcrum.
There are things called electrons inside all of these.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like, I think that awareness and like understanding that people can deviate and that you are open to the change, and also you're open to changing yourself. I mean, I think that's what we're all trying to strive for when we discuss these things, because we could also be wrong in our own perspectives too. Like, I'm obviously biased in my own way about monarchies, but I think that, you know, that I saw a great tweet recently saying, like, just you should just like be open to the fact that you can learn so much more when you realize that you can be wrong, which is, I think, a philosophy we've always tried to push forward.
I love being wrong. It's so fun to learn something new and go into a topic and assume that you don't know.
I don't love being wrong in the moment, but no. I appreciate having been wrong and then changing my mind.
Yeah, Zach,
later.
What was that about avocado oil?
What about avocado oil?
Oh, it was olive oil.
Okay,
oh,
that
boy.
Shit's still real.
You're going to get another email, man.
By the way, I heard recently that there is olive oil you can cook with. It's just not extra virgin olive oil. Because olive oil in and of itself has a high smoke.
What?
You can cook with olive oil.
You can cook with olive oil anyway.
It's just that a lot of olive oil
in the
universe.
You're not supposed to deep fry stuff.
Right, yes,
or like fry high heat because it has a low smoke point. But there is olive oil that's not extra virgin olive oil. Regular olive oil, you can use a high smoke point.
What?
I'm making this shit up. I saw this once.
What?
I could be wrong.
It's the olives, I think.
I'm
going
to go ahead and say I'm thrilled that we started with cleaning because we started with cleaning and we ended up with human history. What this podcast is all about.
That's what you come here for, baby. Yeah. Well, Miles has given us the wrap-up sign, but hey, join our community of Triceratops over at patreon.com/tryguys. We'll keep talking about human history and how Zach loves olives. Also, tryguys.com, get the merch. Now it's time for our final segment, where the youngest and least experienced of us, Miles time.
Miles time.
Miles time with Miles.
It's advice that'll go for miles. Tune it to your
Miles time.
We're going to do a big energy shift over here, talking about history.
Miles time.
Miles
you
time.
You told us to start talking about bone picking.
That was perfect.
Can I be honest? I'm interrupting the song right now.
Yeah, no, you talk over.
My bone to pick was about my partner. But suddenly everyone was... It was like, oh shit.
All of us realized.
Everyone went straight to.
They do a lot more work than we
partner,
do. So we're
and I was like, what the fuck is bothering me right now? I don't know. The British monarchy.
Fuck you, Piers Morgan.
Yeah, fuck you, Piers Morgan.
Oh, he sucks.
Y'all heard about vegetables? Greens. Collard or otherwise.
Yeah.
Bell peppers.
No.
Fruits.
Spinaches.
Yum. Those are vegetables.
Broccolis.
Yum.
Grapes.
Fruit.
Not a fruit.
Well, apples.
Fruit.
Okay. Artichokes.
Vegetables.
Vegetables.
Grocery stores are too scary. Grocery stores are too scary. It's 2020. You don't want to go to the grocery store, but you want to feel that feeling that you get when you reach inside the grocery store. Ain't that right, Ned?
You reach.
I'm not sure where this is going, but.
The grocery store?
Reach.
When you reach inside the grocery store.
Reach inside the grocery store and pull out something sweet. Y'all going to want to get a big fibrous dump after.
Yum.
So what y'all's going to want to do, get your vegetables. And on the way home, think about them.
Think about them.
Mm-hmm. And y'all gonna get home and you're gonna be like, okay, I'm gonna put these vegetables in the fridge. No! Get out of here! Take those vegetables out of the bag.
Put them in your bathtub.
Put them in the tub. No, just playing. Take your veggies, slice them up, and put them in a jar. Now put those front and center. The human eye is a fantastic beast. You're going to see the veggies in the jar pre-sliced, and you're going to think those are going to be super easy to eat. If they're in a bag underneath the cupboard, underneath the ham, you're going to go for the ham. Put the veggies, broccolinis and otherwise, sliced up inside of a little jar and think, that's to go. you can take vegetables to go. No, it's a Starbucks, bitch. You're going to take those peppers out and you're going to be like, that's the bell pepper to go. And I'm having it on the couch with my mouth. Easy does it, Charlie.
This is great advice, actually.
I love this.
This is your actual first good piece of advice.
I'm giving 100.
I don't know about cutting them up. That might dry them out.
Depends on the vegetable. The vegetable.
I thought your advice was going to be to jar pickled veggies, which we've been doing a lot more of at my household and love it. Maggie's now making kimchi.
Oh, shit.
She found this like adorable Korean grandmother teaching her daughter how to make it and watched the whole video and like spent an hour making kimchi, and it's great.
Kimchi Damante.
Yeah, that's what we call her now.
Mm-hmm.
I like kimchi.
But this is like psychology 101. This is cool. This is like trick your brain into eating better.
It also just makes so your veggies are always going to be spoils and they're going to get the sickness. And you don't want that, Ned.
Oh, so you're like cutting them up so that like the clock is ticking.
The clock is ticking.
You have to eat them.
Well, see, that's the part I don't like.
You don't necessarily need to, but I mean, there's lots of ways. You can also put a little folded up paper towel in there, and it's going to keep them from getting too moldy. But what I like about it specifically is it saves space in a way.
No, it doesn't.
Because the jar in some ways is less obtrusive than a bag of spinach. But spinach is not really one. I do carrots, celery, and you got to pre-cut the celery so it's the right size, etc.
Yeah. I kind of like...
I thought
you were going to put
Eugene?
A...
Yes, Eugene?
Done a lot of fun voices. Many fun voices.
It's my neighbor, Eugene.
Oh, hey, Miles.
Hey, Eugene. You want to come over?
I don't know. I'm allergic to vegetables.
Oh, we'll get you some beef.
Oh, well, I already picked my beef.
Okay.
And it's with the Queen of England.
Very nice.
Beef in a jar. I like jars. We use jars a lot. We don't use plastic bags. We use jars instead. It's a really great way to have your leftovers.
They're
like
fun looking.
Things. And also, you can keep using them. Throw them in the dishwasher. Now you got a new bag tomorrow. And
it's fancy.
Better than bags. And you can also pickle with them. But my only thing about vegetables is I think vegetables should be enjoyed more in the morning.
Love that.
I think you can saute some green beans with your eggs, and you'll be surprised at how delicious that meal is.
That's incredible.
Preach.
We don't have a lot of vegetables for breakfast, but...
You let a little yolk run over your veggies?
Oh my God, it's incredible.
Living life.
Like kale, and do some sauteed kale and carrots for breakfast would be delicious.
That's cool. I haven't done that. I've been doing a lot of rice and eggs recently.
Yeah. Well, you can throw some of those vegetables in those rice.
That's good.
This has stayed with me forever. We were at VidCon one year, and they have this like buffet booth, and it's an omelet bar. And Keith went up and is like, can you just saute me a bunch of vegetables? And I'll take some eggs on the side, and I'm like, you can do that? You can just ask that? Because I'm like, I didn't really want an omelet. I just want a fuck ton of vegetables.
Yeah, I just brought up a bunch of vegetables.
I mean, I did that for myself sometimes, but to do that at a buffet... Yeah. Pro move.
They'll do whatever you ask.
That was 2-3 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
I think about it to this day.
Wow. Incredible.
I have a request. I've been sitting on some advice that'll go for Zachary's for a couple months now, to be honest. And I think we should do an episode where we get to take a stab.
Agreed.
And bring some swag of knowledge.
Love so that. Maybe next so time will wait. Be an advice episode.
So maybe Miles talks for 50 minutes and then each of us gets 2.5 minutes to give advice.
Yeah, I would love that.
Silent.
Everyone must produce their own theme song.
I would love it.
I do want to hear your advice, though.
Well,
so I'll have to save it.
You're going to have to subscribe for more!
Jesus
Christ.
Well, we've already wrapped this episode up. So, goodbye.
That's Keith.
Keith, hit us with the official tripod theme song.
It's advice that we'll go for Try Guys. Try Guys will give you advice. Time. It was time for a gross and try. Try Guys ready. Bye. Give her advice. How much out in a mile's time? And Try Guys. Thanks for listening. Tripod.
We're giving advice next week, right?
Yeah.
Until next time, stay beautiful.